This is from Mark chapter 10. Pharisees came up, and in order to test Jesus, asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce to send her away." And Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What, therefore, God has joined together, let man not separate." And in the house, the disciples asked him about this matter. And he said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. It's really been cool over the years to see my own kids grow and develop skills, knowledge, and abilities. It's amazing. I mean, it is kind of like salvation when you don't have to change diapers anymore or have to get them dressed for bed or get them dressed for the day. But it's really cool to see how children can grow and develop and gain confidence in all kinds of different ways. It's nice to see them not depending so much on mom and dad, becoming more and more adults in the way that they think and do various things. But there are those occasions when being all grown up can be all wrong. And we see such occasions today in our gospel reading. Jesus is dealing with two kinds of adults, and being adult for them was all wrong. It wasn't working at all in any way, in a good way. It was all bad. Two different groups Jesus is working with in our gospel reading. And one of them is trusting in and relying on and promoting their own agenda. And really, the other group is still trusting in and relying on their own agenda. There's like ruts on both sides of this road today in our gospel reading. You have the Pharisees on one side, you have the disciples on the other, and they're both grown up and in trouble. They're not getting what it means to be with Jesus. They're not getting what it means to follow God in His will and His ways. Now, before we become too overly critical about these two groups, we need to understand that we can fall into these same ruts as well. Think about the Pharisees. Sometimes I think we're Pharisees in the way we look at the Pharisees. But the Pharisees were really something. They were the ones that saw to the instruction in the synagogue practices of that day. They were serious about finding and recognizing rabbis who would serve and teach. They were not a part of the Levitical system, the priesthood, the temple, but they were very much a part of the church. They believed in the resurrection. They believed in angels, unlike the Sadducees, who were also major players at that time. They believed in angels. They believed in spirits. They believed in the promised Messiah. So they were, in every sense of the word, highly orthodox. How strange they could be so close and yet so far, missing the whole point of all their orthodox faith, the one standing before them, the one where all they want to do is test him. They've got axes to grind. They have their own excuses, justifications, and defenses. And by golly, they want to follow God and live in his will according to their ways and not his. And so they bring up the whole issue of marriage. Like it wasn't a problem before, it sure was. And they're curious. What about divorcing? How does that work? And Jesus is pretty forthright with them. He says, because of your hardness of heart, he wrote you this commandment. Now stop. Moses, some 1,440 years before this very exchange, maybe you can add 30 years, he had written about this whole process with the people of old. The men wanted to get rid of their wives. And so it looks like Moses gave them permission. And Jesus explains, he said it this way again, because of your hardness, the Pharisees' hardness of heart. Jesus is actually identifying what's going wrong within them. Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. They didn't like that. It's fascinating. There's a lot of challenges in our day with divorce. A good portion of the children in our culture right now are growing up in a single-parent home. But there's nothing new. It was going on back then. And what's interesting is it was even going on long before that, some 1,400 years back to Moses. Moses dealing with it in the congregation of God's people who were hardening their hearts toward God's will and way, drifting away, neglecting what God had given to them in so great a salvation, the promise of salvation in the Messiah. And then the disciples, they want to follow Jesus. They want to take in and learn from him. And yet, when little children are coming to Jesus, he says, shoo! Jesus doesn't have time for you. They don't get it either. They somehow think that it must be some academic ascent. You got to be smart enough to be able to talk and write, and then you can be a part of this kingdom. And Jesus says, no, 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 no. Let them come to me. And then he says something very, very, very powerful. Unless you enter the kingdom of God like a little child, you will not enter it. Think about it this way. God's kingdom is filled with people who depend on him. And yet, how many ways do we get too big for our britches? How many ways do we rely on ourselves far too much? Thinking that things can be carried out in our strength and our abilities, getting all grown up where it's nothing but bad for us. It happens to us too. And yet Jesus makes it clear that it's being totally dependent like a child is in a family. That's what it means to be in the kingdom of God. And it's hard for us to grasp this as Americans. We're so used to thinking we can figure things out. But there are places right now in your life and my life where our mind isn't working so well, our money's not going to fix it, and our muscles are too weak. In those places, you can depend on God. He's the bedrock you can fall on. He's the foundation you can stand back on. He's the one who can bring you through. And this is why. Because of the cross. Jesus came, and he died for you. And you are totally dependent on this gift to rescue you from all the ways that you have fallen short. Perhaps some of you are struggling still with what happened in a marriage down in the past somewhere. Keep in mind, It's not just about divorce. How many ways has God given us so many good things and we've just wrecked them? How many ways? For all those things, there's forgiveness. For all those things, there is one who will not let you down, who will not neglect you, who will care for you, who can actually bring you through those things even better because of his grace in your life. Not that you want to go back there. To go back there with God's love and forgiveness. In fact, if you want to understand your history best, you're going to have to depend on the grace of Jesus. If you're going to want to embrace the future without being afraid of it, you are going to need to depend on the Lord and his promised care, and you can. Because he is the one thing needful. And our dependence on Christ has been completed in his cross. It's the cross where we best understand this truth, where he was the propitiation. He was the willing one to take upon himself all of our sin and imperfection, thought, word, and deed. All the ways that we have failed to carry out God's will and ways. For all the ways that we want to follow God according to our own ways, like the Pharisees, or for all the ways we think we know more about Jesus and his kingdom than we really do as the disciples. We get stuck in those ruts, there's the word, as well. And for us in Christ, we can depend on him in all those ways that we have fallen short. We can trust in him. Not only that, but we can jump into his arms, knowing that his arms are always open for us. He wants to welcome us. He wants to bless us. And in truth, we're all his children. We can say, "Hold me, Jesus," whenever we need to. In fact, "Hold me, Jesus" is the go-to prayer. 24/7, 365. Whenever you need to say, "Hold me, Jesus," when you're mad, when you're sad, like the children's message. That message is for me. That's messages for you. How wonderful it is to know that there is someone we can depend on no matter where we're at or going through. And he has promised to be there for you. And he has promised to be there for me. And that's the prayer of God's family, who are depending on him. Hold me, Jesus. But it's not that our skills, knowledge, and abilities are bad. Each of you is a masterpiece. Each of you is a miracle. You have skills, knowledge, and abilities that can be used in all kinds of ways. I mean, I'm fascinated with my own kids. The fruit doesn't fall far from the tree. Well, Karen and me. But it does land in different places. And man, they know things I don't get. I can't even memorize some of the stuff that they can just say so easily. All of you have skills, knowledge, and abilities that are of service. The danger is to trust in them more than God. To depend on them more than God. Use and be the gift you are in what you have in skills, knowledge, and abilities. But depend on God. Trust in him. Trust in his word. I don't know about you, but every time I hear the story of Adam and Eve, I think to myself, gosh, that just sounds so much like a fairy tale. That just sounds like a myth and a story and just a way to explain it. But it's the truth. It's the truth. God wants us to believe it. God wants us to understand that's how the origin of the human race started. And frankly, all the other origins are the stories, the fairy tales. They're the fake news to this truth. Why is it important for us to believe that account of Adam and Eve? Because Jesus does. And that's how he explained it to the Pharisees, who were just shucking and jiving, trying to figure out how they can live without admitting they need forgiveness. And this is an important thing to understand. Because we're depending on God for something else. We certainly like that part of the meta-narrative, the big story. But when it comes to where we have fallen short, where we feel guilt and shame, God wants us to trust in his cross. Look, if we think one's a myth, why not the other? Why not let our hearts grow hard with unbelief? God forbid. Let us trust in what God has said to us in his word. Hold it sacred. simply receive it and believe it like a child, depending on God and His word of truth and love. And then share it with others. They might think it's a joke, but as they hear how we believe it and trust it, they'll see our witness and our testimony. And it'll be a blessing. God's word is a blessing. God works in and through us to bless others. And so, young or old, receive them in Jesus' name and speak God's blessing on them in Jesus' name. So how many of you tried to keep in your mind the idea of blessing one another before you said goodbye from last Sunday? How many of you thought about how you can give a blessing? Maybe even touch someone on the head and say, "The Lord bless you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet." You know, that's what we're here to do as God's children. Not only to live out our childlike faith, depending on God and His word, but blessing others with a blessing that we have received. In the name of Jesus, amen.